listening to Bits on Me, the podcast about women's bodies, all the things we should know about them, and all the stories behind them. This week I talked to Margaret O'Connor, a counsellor and psychotherapist who also happens to be child-free by choice. A few years ago, Margaret decided to set up a dedicated service called Our Kids For Me, which aims to help people figure out exactly that, whether or not kids are for them. We talk about the various different factors that influence the decision, the lack of representation of people who are child-free by choice, and the difficulty in making a decision that goes against society's norms. So you're 38 and child-free by choice.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a time when you thought that you'd like to have kids?
I think there was a weekend, literally, I can remember. Don't know if it was the full weekend. Can't even remember when. Sometimes in my mid-20s. But yeah, it passed. And then that was literally it. I'm one of those early articulators. So
yeah,
I can remember having, you know, quite stroppy conversations when I was a teenager. I don't know, when I was a teenager, you know, teen pregnancy was a big thing. And not that there was any risk of it happening. Let me just clarify. But, you know, I was very much like, if I was to meet someone who had a child, you know, that'd be grand. That'd take the pressure off me and they wouldn't be looking for a child off me, and having very forthright conversations about this as a teenager. So it's pretty much how I've always felt, and it hasn't, apart from that brief weekend, hasn't changed.
And is it something that you find that people ask about? Do you feel a pressure to change or to explain it?
It's interesting. I suppose it's something that I've always been saying. It's never been a secret. But I think people think you're joking. So like during your 20s, it's like everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, it's grand. And then I suppose it changes as you get older. And I suppose even I was kind of expecting like, oh yeah, you know, I'm 30 or I'm 32 or 35, or still kind of going, oh, I'm 38, it might change yet, but I don't think it will. But yeah, so people respond differently, and then I suppose when it comes that you're actually maybe taking, if you need to make a decision on it, you know, if for some reason it becomes more tangible rather than this abstract kind of future thing, then it's like, oh you really mean that, you're not just joking, we just thought you were being sarcastic or dramatic or whatever. Yeah, it's interesting. I suppose people that know me are probably sick to death of me talking about it, so they don't ask me anymore, because it's all, sometimes I feel like it's all I talk about. But it can come up in the most random places. You know, it can be when you're getting your hair done, or when you're, you know, random conversation with strangers is probably where it probably comes up the most, because anyone who knows me at this point.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really bother me. Like, I suppose I kind of make a choice. Sometimes you're going to get into it and sometimes you're not. And you know, you kind of gauge my answers according to the mood I'm in at the time. But I know for other people, you know, other people I've spoken to, you know, that can be quite annoying or distressing, depending on your situation, or again, maybe the mood you're in. But
So you're a counsellor and psychotherapist, and you have this specific dedicated service that you've called Our Kids For Me. What made you decide to set that up?
Yeah, basically the lack of services, you know, specifically in Ireland. Now, I suppose, you know, counsellors and therapists deal with all kinds of issues, so I'm not saying that nobody else deals with that, but I suppose in terms of having kind of a dedicated service to it, one that I have some personal experience around, and I've also done some research on it, you know, so trying to be as informed as possible, I just felt that was really important. So, you know, there are other services and other information available, like in America and in Europe and in the UK, but definitely a lack of it in Ireland. So I think it's always important to hear, you know, I'm not the only one. There are other people who sound like me, who look like me, who have lived lives like me, who feel the same. I do think that's really important. So it came from there, really. Really just trying to meet a need, if it was there, which it is. It has turned out to be so.
So you mentioned your studies there. So you did a master's in gender, culture and society, where you researched this in particular. Could you tell me a little bit about the factors that women mention as influential when they're trying to make a decision as to whether or not they do want to have kids?
Yeah, so I interviewed women who didn't have children about, it was kind of the process and the experience of trying to make that decision. And there was a mix, so I spoke to 15 women, and there was a mix of people in that, you know, people who definitely did want kids, definitely didn't, and still weren't sure. I mean, the factors are so many. So there'd be a lot of practical ones. So I suppose whether you're in a relationship or not, whether it's the right relationship or not, your job, like how steady or precarious your job and employment is, accommodation, the same. Then kind of support network, you know, do you live nearby, kind of family and friends? Do you foresee that you'd have a support network available to you? So they're all things, I mean, practical things, but really important things. And they're things that can be planned for, I guess. You know, you might decide, well, I want to move nearer somebody, or I want to get a more family friendly job if I can, or things like that. And then there was kind of more personal things, I guess, like your view of family, like so does that mean, well, I want or I need to have biological children, or do I see adoption as an option, or fostering? That maternal desire, like, do you actually want kids or not?
Yeah.
You know, before, and I suppose I thought it was really interesting. So if you did, or if the participants did want children or thought they wanted them enough, then those other issues felt much more manageable, or that you would try to put those things in place. And whereas if the desire wasn't there, then it kind of followed on, then kind of like, well, why would I put those things in place, kind of a thing. So view of yourself as well, kind of personal development of, you know, do I see myself as being adulty enough? Do I see myself as being a mother? You know, am I ready, and all those kinds of things. So it's kind of these really practical factors, then these more, I'm going to say slightly more abstract, but still really important factors. And then this societal pressure.
Yeah.
So somebody, you know, and I spoke to people who were kind of like, I don't want kids. I could have them. You know, I'm in a position in my life where I could. And then it's, well, like, should I have them? As opposed to, do I want them? And like, they're two entirely different questions.
Yeah.
You know, they really are when you think about it. So, yeah, so some people, you know, I just thought it was really interesting to kind of watch that progression, I guess. You know, people might answer that like, no, I don't want them, whether you were practically able to have them or not, but they might still get caught on that bit of, oh, well, but should I? Almost regardless of whether you think you want to or not. So,
Would you say that happens, that you'd come across people who might say, oh, you know, these are the practical considerations and whatever, and then asking themselves, should I, or I probably should, without having fully considered that kind of the deeper desire, I suppose, do I want them?
Absolutely, because I suppose we're, this is guilt, I think, that if you are physically able to have them, if you are in a relationship, if you do have, you know, a house or the facilities for a child, it kind of feels like it isn't a good enough reason to just not want to have them. Like, that doesn't feel like a justifiable reason to other people. Yeah. Because we're told, and this drives me mad in particular, you know, we're told like, oh, it'll be different when it's your own. You know, you're waiting for this magical thing to kick in. You're kind of going, Jesus, I hope it does. If you were to go down that route, it's kind of thinking, well, everybody else is doing it, and I've no kind of, I don't have a good enough reason not to. And everyone's telling me that I should, or I'll want to, or I'll regret it if I don't. You know, so it's all these factors coming together, and how they impact, you know, the particular situation. But yeah, definitely that is a factor for people.
And would you say, like, I find it interesting as well, when you think about the practical circumstances, and if you look at society and Ireland right now, housing, education, health, like, there is a lot there that would potentially put somebody off having kids. Mm-hmm. Would you go as far as to say that we're letting people down, that there are people out there who really want to have kids but who choose not to, like, actively make that choice because mm-hmm. of the circumstances like that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we're seeing that, like, yeah, I do think that is happening now. And I suppose there's this weird contrast of, like, motherhood is so symbolically prized and valued. You know, it is, you know, it is an important role, and there's a status that comes with that, and it should, you know, it should be valued. But this symbolic prizing versus the complete, well, yeah, pretty much complete lack of practical support.
Yeah.
And that's really contradictory. So, and it can come as a shock, I think, to some. I'm going to say parents, I don't want to focus completely on the motherhood side, I think for both sides, but you think this is a great thing and everybody wants you to do it, and everyone's, you know, you're going to get all this support, but then it's a very, can be a very isolating experience. And you're making these decisions on how do I balance, you know, work and care and everything else. So, yeah, I think that can add I'm not saying it's a negative experience for everyone, but it can be, I do think that can be a shock to some people. Yeah.
I was going to ask, actually, because you mentioned it there. Do you think that this decision is really different for women than it is to men? And if so, how?
Yeah, in lots of ways. Like, I think, first of all, sometimes men feel like they're not entitled to an opinion.
Kind of in a relationship, that is?
Yeah. And kind of in a nice way, it's kind of well-intended. They're like, oh, well, you know, and I agree, it's the woman's body. And I think at the end of the day, you know, she has to have the final say in it. But sometimes I think they feel kind of disenfranchised from having a strong opinion. Like, it's almost like the expectation that, you know, it is that kind of gender stereotype of, oh, well, the woman wants the baby and sure, he'll just go along with it, as opposed to, well, you know, there's lots of men who really want babies and really want to be fathers.
And realistically, would you want to have a kid with somebody who isn't really bothered? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Kind of want you to be a bit enthusiastic about.
Yeah. You're kind of going, okay. So I think that's not allowed, or it's not, it probably feels like it's not allowed for men to express kind of very strong desire to be fathers. I suppose there's less pressure, you know. We see it in the workplace, I suppose, a lot, you know. When a woman has a child, the kind of prevailing thing is that that's the belief is that, you know, her child is her focus now. And yes, of course, but that's seen as a negative in the workplace. Whereas for men, it's seen as a positive. So if they're a family man, they're seen as being more responsible. They have, have commitments. They'll work harder. Like, it's so strange.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I don't understand it. But like, so that's very different. And we hear, again, you look at all the different studies, you know, and I'm not, it's not generalizing for everyone, but like, men's lives tend to be less impacted by having children. They tend to keep up their hobbies and, you know, be much more involved outside of the home than women are. And I suppose we're seeing that. I think that's been highlighted during COVID as well, kind of the impact of the caring role and all of that stuff and the division of labour in houses. And that's raised as an issue. You know, I've heard that concern in couples that have come to see me, you know, like, as well-intended as the partner might be, a lot of the time the woman has a concern that she will end up doing the majority of it. And again, kind of because of maybe how the systems are set up or the expectations or however it'll work out. And that's a genuine concern for people.
When you meet people who say that the social pressures are kind of, that's a big consideration for them in making this decision, what do those pressures look like?
I think it's the lack of visibility. So there's a term, so pronatalism, that, you know, it is that birth is a very positive thing and is to be encouraged kind of above everything else. And we see this in government policy. We see it in religion. We see it kind of in generally how society is set up. It is encouraged. and is supporting of families with children. And again, that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But then it doesn't leave room for other options. So if you look at advertising, television, you know, the vast majority is, you know, images are people with children, you know, that family focus, family being parents and children. You know, we don't really see, we mightn't see any representation of other family forms, or certainly not positive representation of other family forms. So if you can, you know, it's a classic thing, if you can't see it, you may not even know it's an option, or it may not look like a positive option. So I suppose the pressure, you know, the pressure is that this is what everybody does. You know, this in what the form might have changed slightly. You know, traditionally, I suppose it was that you got married and have kids. Now that might be reversed, but it happens at some stage. The natural, and I'm air quoting furiously, the natural run of things is, you know, meet a partner, have kids and do whatever else, buy a house and get your job and all that kind of stuff. And if you're not doing that, then you're not kind of the same as everybody else, or that there is some reason, that there has to be like a really serious reason why you wouldn't do that, because that's what everybody's doing. You know, that's what everybody wants to do. It's what everybody will do. So it's really hard. It's really hard to go against that for whatever reason, whether that's by choice or not. It's a very isolating place to be. And then that makes you think, oh, well, what is wrong with me? Why don't I want to do what everybody else, again, air quoting, is doing? Because not everybody is doing it, but it's what we see. It's what it's what is portrayed. And I suppose our natural thing is to be part of a society. You know, we want to be like everyone else. We want to belong and have that sense of fitting in. So it's quite hard psychologically to go against that. I suppose is why I started the podcast as well, is that I suppose people might, you know, we can almost have this kind of internalized stigma or shame, like the vast majority of people who choose not to have children, like, live really cool lives. You know, we need to see that, you know, it's very possible to do that. You know, you have passions and interests and you do have a bit more time and you might have a bit more money and flexibility, and I think we need to hear that, to know that it doesn't have to be tragic and sad and you know. So yeah, I think that's something that's really important, you know, not to be kind of afraid to share that or ashamed to share that. And it doesn't mean you have to be doing anything hugely remarkable, you know. This compensating idea can come up, like for some people it's like they feel like no matter what they do it'll never be good enough because they didn't have kids, you know, that tag onto the end. But you know, you don't have to be, like, if you want to do, you know, if you want to be the CEO of a company, or if you want to travel the world, you know, great, lovely, go for it. Equally, if you want to sit at home and watch a lot of Netflix, that's your choice. You know, it doesn't have to be this huge either or thing. You don't have to go and justify, my life is fantastic, you know, I'm doing all this stuff because I didn't have kids. I just think it's really important to share those aspects that, you know, if it's the right choice for you, it can be an amazing choice. There's no reason for it not to be as such.
Yeah, and you did mention that to me beforehand about the lack of role models. But that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, like, how do you create more role models? I suppose that's all about the biases that we all have in society. You know, you don't see a lot of childless by choice characters, for example, on screen. And do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a huge lack there, because the really typical thing is you might have one child-free character who inevitably changes their mind, which is infuriating. At the end,
yeah,
infuriating. you know, or it's oh yeah. We very rarely you see just, you know, like a child-free person just living their life as part of a TV show or a film or whatever. So yeah, there's definitely a gap there. But yeah, as I said, I suppose just it's not that everybody has to be out shouting from the rooftops, but you know, things like, I guess, like the like podcasts or like articles, you know, we've seen a lot of those, as I said, even in the last 6 months, a lot of kind of personal articles being written by yeah. people who are amazingly powerful. They're so kind of enlightening. So I think, you know, it I know it's hard for people to put themselves out there, but I think that really raises kind of the human side of it, you know, that it's people making choices in their lives. So it's what I do think that's really helpful.
Yeah. Is it your impression that people are putting more energy and effort into making a conscious decision about becoming a parent now than previously?
It seems that way. It definitely seems like there's more awareness. I suppose it's kind of that thing. We've had the choice for a while, you know, again, not everybody has that choice, but I suppose technically and practically and medically, the choice has been there for a while. But I suppose it was a quote I read, you know, that the choice is there, but it's not seen as the right choice. So yeah. there's still a gap of, is it okay to do this? You know, can I actually do it? So I can, you know, prevent myself getting pregnant, but is it okay to do it? So I think we're catching up. There's still a gap, but yeah, I do think so. Awareness of the choice is increasing. Discussion of the choice is definitely increasing. And I think the pandemic has really accelerated that. It's getting way more coverage, probably internationally, but there's been an awful lot of discussion in Ireland recently, which is yeah. great, even in the last 6 months. So yeah, and I think, you know, I know social media isn't always the best, but I think it's really good for this, because you're able to connect with like-minded people, and there are plenty of like-minded people out there, and there's different online communities and pages and podcasts and everything. So yeah, it seems to be coming together. And I think as well, it's that assumption that everybody will want to and will have children. Like, it doesn't work for everybody, as in you might really want to have kids and you might still be anxious about it.
Yeah.
And we need to create space for that. You know, it's not a straightforward process, or it's not always a straightforward process. So even just allowing space for that it might be something I really want, but I'm still a bit nervous about it. And can we have space for that? And everywhere else on the continuum, that it's really just not this straightforward yes or no decision. So yeah, so I suppose I think it's good, and I think it would benefit everyone to have more conversations about that, more honest conversations about that.
Do you ever come across the parents who have chosen to become parents and who have gone on to regret it one way or another?
Not specifically. I suppose I have a general counselling practice as well, and I mean, I would have worked with people there who find parenting difficult, you know, and challenging. Of course, yeah. And again, I think it's really important to have that space, whether it is okay. You know, of course there's days when you're thinking, Jesus, what did I do? Or yeah. the night when you haven't slept for 3 months or whatever, you're kind of going, oh God, you know, and that I feel like that has to be okay, because it can be both again. Like, we can love and hate those nearest to us at the same time. You know, they're our family, you know, and that will continue throughout life, and that's fine. But, you know, even just admitting that and making it okay, I think is really important. So, you know, as I said, I really admire parents, because it's so hard. So, like, you know, I really, you know, and I know it's rewarding as well. But yeah, I suppose I haven't had somebody come to me specifically for that, you know, to work through that, like regretting the decision. But I suppose I do recognize that at times it can be very challenging. And I think parents really need support with that, that it's okay to say it's hard. Yeah.
And so when somebody comes to you and says, look, I'm really not sure what to do. I'm really scared I'm going to regret it if I don't have kids. The biological clock is ticking, but I don't feel convinced that I'm ready. How do you work with people to figure that out? Like, is it just as simple as sitting, having that conversation and teasing out the options, or what do you do?
Yeah, I suppose it's about going back a bit. I'd always be interested to see, particularly because what you've said there is a really common, I suppose, presentation, you know, that time is a factor. So I would try to I suppose, explore as much as possible. So, you know, do you remember what you felt, you know, when you were a child or a teenager in your 20s? You know, has it changed? Because I know I was saying that there's early articulators who are generally people who are very sure or are quite sure from an early age. Then there's, I suppose, the other people are the postponers who kind of think, oh, yeah, I'll definitely have kids later on. Later on. and you get to the point where you're kind of going, all right, okay, I have to make a decision now. So like, what's that about? You know, if it was always something very far away in the future and other things keep getting in the way, as in like you prioritize other things, what's that telling you? Or, you know, what's changing? What's making you question this decision now? Is it age? Is it that all my friends are having kids? Is it you know, whatever it is, and they're all perfectly valid, but it's really trying to explore, as was trying to take away the sense of pressure for a while. So if we can kind of park the time issue, or if we can park, you know, the worry that you'll regret it, or whatever those kind of really driving factors are, and just kind of make a space. Because I always think, like, I kind of describe it like, it feels really noisy if you're out and if you're listening to everyone's opinion, because everyone has an opinion. And, you know, so really trying to use the space to figure out, can we just kind of quieten everything down and slow things down for a little bit and see, what do you actually want? What are your values? What's important in life? What have you worked hard for before? You know, what have you prioritized? All those kinds of things. Because there's a lot of information in there. And then kind of seeing really what is the block or what is the fear. Because as well, I hear most people are, you know, don't want to make a decision based on fear either way.
Yeah,
which is totally valid. So again, just giving that a bit of time and seeing, like, what is that really? Is it a fear of being different? Is it a fear of being left out? Is it a fear of regret, or whatever the different issue is? But yeah, and I suppose, look, I have different resources, I suppose, you know, different books or different exercises and different things to kind of listen to and reflect on. I suppose that's where I think those resources are really good. It's trying to see, what do you resonate with? If you hear someone's story, so whether that's like a podcast guest or someone at reading or whatever it is, and you kind of think, oh yeah, that feels really right to me. You know, whatever that is, you know, what does that tell you? Or if you read something else, you kind of think, oh, you know, that doesn't sound great, but, you know, what, again, what's coming up for you? So I was really trying to work through those reactions and responses to help people. Really important to clarify, I'm not looking to convert anyone. It's not, you know, I don't make the decision. I can't tell anybody what to do, just to be really clear on that. So, it is an objective space. So I just want people to be as happy as they can be with whatever decision they make.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds liberating and empowering in a lot of ways, I think, to actually sit in a space and consider these things without that noise that you're talking about. Yeah, because I think it is easy to just get sidelined or confused by everything that other people tell us. And, you know, to get to really think about these things and what's important for me, that's brilliant.
And look, I mean, that's what therapy is. Anyway, you know, generally, it's just maybe more specific here. But yeah, I mean, it can be absolutely brilliant. And, you know, sometimes a person might come in and they might think that a particular issue is it, and it might turn out to be something else entirely. Or it may be that and some work needs to be done. But yeah, just really giving yourself some space. And I think, you know, you might even need to say, right, I'm going to give myself 3 months or 6 months to figure this out and take some pressure off, because people can feel under so much pressure to make a decision or to know. Yeah, so that can get in the way as well.
How would you like to see things change, or how do you think that things could change in such a way that it would be easier to have these kinds of discussions and chats without them being stigmatizing and really difficult for people?
Which I think just everybody needs to be more honest, you know.
Honesty is good.
I say be more open-minded, which sounds really cliche, but I suppose it's very small things. It's even just being aware. I suppose it's being aware that what might be right for me might not be right for somebody else. So, you know, if you are someone who thinks, you know, I've always wanted kids, I love kids, and family is so important to me, absolutely great, wonderful. Mm. You should be having kids. That's great. No problem. You've thought about it. But like, I suppose not letting that very strong experience block you from being able to see, well, actually, that mightn't be the right experience for someone else.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I guess curiosity is probably the word, is it? Mm. Yeah. So instead of kind of, oh, I find that really hard to understand, like being curious about it. I think it's good to talk. It's not that we shouldn't have these conversations, but just really, you know, there's a huge difference even in asking, you know, when are you going to have kids versus are you going to have kids? Mm. If you have to ask the question at all, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do we need to ask? I'm not sure, but yeah.
Probably not all the time, but that's a very different situation, you know. You know, it's just taking the presumption out of it. Mm. And being curious that if somebody isn't having kids for whatever reason, oh, wow, like, what's that like? You know, as opposed to, oh, your life must be so sad and tragic. you know, yeah. Like, that would be really helpful, I think. Just a bit more awareness, probably.
That was Margaret O'Connor on Bits of Me. I'm going to link to Margaret's Our Kids For Me website in the show notes, but if you're interested in hearing from other people who are navigating this decision, look up Margaret's podcast with the same name. If you're a regular listener, you may have noticed that I've stopped talking about the Patreon, which is simply because we're nearing the end of season 2 and I'm about to take a little break. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm massively grateful to all those of you who have contributed and made this season possible, so thank you. And, of course, thank you for listening.